Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to a very special episode of The Paula Price Show with your host, Dr. Paula Price, author of The Prophet's Dictionary and Before the Garden. Tune in and tell a friend. Join me in welcoming Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it is another powerful night on The Paula Price Show with the ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christians with the one and only Dr. Paula Price. How are you doing this evening?
I am doing wonderful this evening, Ashley. I'm having a great time. I'm excited about this Periscope thing, you know. It's hard to believe that in my lifetime, and I'm sure many of them who have been on the planet as long as I have, are surprised to see how much progress, how advanced we've become. I remember, Ashley, Dick Tracy cartoons talking into his wrist, and today we're talking into our wrist, talking about how time moves so fast and also how we only think progress happens in the church, but truly, the world has moved forward. Technology has taken us. So there are tons of visionaries in the planet, and because of those visionaries, we're able to talk to you tonight and bring you a wonderful class. If you'll notice, I even got a screen for you guys. That's how much I love you. I want us all to share this journey of becoming and making apostolic Christians. I've been talking about that for the last several months, and we will be on this journey on Tuesday nights until we're done. And whenever that is, only God knows. But I want to invite you to I want to encourage you, it's a better word, to invite your friends, you know, tweet people, Facebook people, and let them know we're on the air talking about apostolic Christians from the ABCs of Apostleship 2. Now, I've been telling you that I wrote a book on this. It's a workbook for congregations. It's a workbook for the local church. Part of what's causing me to go this direction is this. We have been talking and talking and talking about apostleship for a long time. And yet, if you took just a straw poll in many of your churches and asked them what an apostle was, they couldn't tell you. Or what an apostle is, they couldn't tell you. Most of them will tell you they're dead. We don't have those any longer. And then you have a lot of other theological answers that really don't make sense with Scripture. And so what I realize is that we did so much. We did such a great job. I want to say a grand job of helping the apostles find their places and step into their roles. Problem is, we forgot you. We forgot the people who have to tell their friends and explain to others what's going on, what an apostolic Christian is, what an apostle is, and what kind of church they go to, and why it's not so-and-so's, you know, faith church, Christ church, whatever kind of traditional name that we're all accustomed to. And it's interesting because, you know, none of us can allow ourselves to be tricked into thinking because we've heard the words apostle, apostolic, and apostleship so much that we actually know what we're talking about. It is very common in our information-glutted world to think you know a lot about everything you hear and to think that what your ears hear, your brain grasps. And so even if you can recall it and regurgitate it, doesn't mean you understand it. So I'm taking these Tuesday nights to help bring you aboard. And I'm excited because if those of you who are watching, because some of you are my friend, my family, some of you are clients, some of you are my students, those of you who are watching know I love PowerPoint. If they wanted me to do a commercial, I would do a commercial for PowerPoint because I'm one of those people. I just love it. I love it. I love it because I believe that a picture is worth a thousand words. I think people are very capable of multitasking in terms of viewing and listening and whatever. But I also know that if you want to get a lot of information out quickly, this is the way to do it. Now, I think I'm a production person. So just pray for me. I have my own vision, and I always like to go beyond my scope. As part of my basic makeup, I'm going to go beyond. So I decided that if we're going to call this a weekly class, then I'm going to show you what the class will entail. Now, you're not getting the class in order. There are tons and tons of lectures in there that you will not get unless you enroll in the class, and we'll tell you about how to do that next week. Unless, you know, Prophet Ashley has been known to jump the gun on me and get things ready, so if she has, then she'll just dive on in there. But until then, I want to share with you, and I want you to use this in your churches. I want you to use it with your Bible study, your prophetic classes. I want you to use it with your intercessory group. Now, why am I saying that? The reason I am encouraging you to do this is because that's where God is going. And God has spent 30 years getting me ready to help you get there. I'm excited about that. 30 years of my life researching, studying, cave. And some of you all know that cave duty thing. I know there are a lot of you all out there understand that cave thing. In the cave, two steps from the grave, brought you back from the grave, brought you back from the holes in the wall and all of these things to get this done. So I'm ready. And I'm so ready, I prepared this for you so that you can get ready with us and we can start establishing apostolic Christians. Now, before I go into my class, I want to say this to you again, and I will say it every week. I will never get tired of saying it. This is not an either-or proposition. In the past, the church has been prone to be quite linear, which means that it's either this or it's that. It's either this or it's that. God is not that. That's not God. God is, well, come on, he had 12 tribes. He's got, you know, 12 apostles and 7 churches. So we know he's got at least 32 flavors of whatever it is he wants to do. So God is not single-dimensional. A lot of why you can't understand God is because you view him as single-dimensional. You view him as a single entity like you or the single entity he became when he donned flesh and came into the planet to become the Savior of the world. Well, that's not God. God is God. You know, and as we go forward and start digging into these things, you're going to find out that he's as infinite as he says he is. He's as vast as he says he is. He's been around as long as he says he's been around, which, you know, like whatever the number is, we can't count that high. And so I want to bring you aboard, and I want you to understand who God is. I want you to understand the apostolic way, and I want you to understand that if you're called for it, if you're called to it, if you're not, then that's wonderful. Then you'll be a part of helping other people understand this. So this is not the let's go out and rip the fabric of the church apart kind of thing. Okay, well, we're now the it. You know, we are who we are. Each one of us has a role to play. And what you're going to find out about the apostolic Christian is that if you remember last week, I read it to you, that everybody in Jesus Christ, if you were born a Christian, you were born apostolic because you were born by the word of apostleship, the work of apostleship, the spirit of apostleship. Because when the church was born, the only office that existed, when the church was born, the only office that existed was the office of the apostle. I don't know if that's exciting to you, but I know that's exciting to me because I find that a people is only as strong as their identity. And identity is your key to destiny. If you don't know who you are, you can't figure out, and you'll never recognize if you've arrived. So we're going to spend quite a bit of time just going through this and hammering through it, and I'll repeat myself again and again because it's new. Here's something that you'd like to think about. How many of you realize you have never met the apostolic side of God? See, that's one of those, like, yeah, we haven't. We only know the evangelical side of God. We only know the pastoral side of God. We only know the teacher side of God. You've not met the apostolic side of God, and you've scarcely gotten to know the prophetic side of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's worth thinking about. That's some good stuff, you know? So our job is to make sure that you get the whole fivefold. We said fivefold and worked with threefold. We said, we fivefold church, okay? What do you have there? You got some evangelists? Yeah, we got evangelists. You got some, yeah, we got a pastor. Have you got any teachers? Yes, we've got some teachers too. You got any prophets? No, because they tear up the church. So then why are you calling yourself fivefold? By the way, you have any apostles? No, because they all dead. But that is not what Scripture teaches. And so I know they're not dead because I'm alive, and I have dozens and dozens of colleagues who are alive as well and doing a great job getting this done. I want to bring it to you. So we're going to look at it, watch the screen. You're going to love it. I had fun with PowerPoint. And listen, encourage me. I want my claps. You know how I feel about those claps because, you know, they make me so happy. And I sit down after the fact just in case you don't think about it, and I count my hearts and my claps and my comments because this is a team effort. I said, this is a team effort. I may bring you the information, but you have to take it to the nations. So this is a team effort. And as we all work together, this other heretofore ignored body or membership of the body of Christ will find its place. And as we go on, and when you get my book, ABCs of Apostleship 2, you see ABCs of Apostleship 1 is up here for you to order. But you can also put your order in starting next month for ABCs of Apostleship 2, which is what I wrote for congregations to understand what apostleship means to them in the pew. It's wonderful to know what it means to me. Dr. Price is an apostle. That's great. Anybody asks you, so what's that? You're like, I don't know, but she's powerful. But wouldn't you like to be intelligent and articulate? Because I'll tell you something about apostles and prophets. They are the intelligence, and they are the communication center of the kingdom of God. It started there. God started with apostles. You know, he had shepherds. Jeremiah had some shepherds in there. Ezekiel had some shepherds. So you know he could have started with shepherds, but he didn't. And you know why he didn't start with shepherds? Because he didn't have any sheep. See, he had no sheep under the Jesus model. Okay? So he didn't need shepherds then. And so he didn't have to start with teachers because of the law of Moses. It already had teachers, the scribes, the priests. All of that existed. He started with apostles for a reason. And as we go through this training, you're going to find out. And the first Christians were apostles. We are the root, the bedrock, the foundation, the pillars, the ground of truth. That pillar and ground of truth began with apostles and prophets. Now, where do the prophets fit in? Because, you know, apostles without prophets, useless. And prophets without apostles, help me, Lord. I'm back. I was one of them. I know. The information stream is so vast, you don't know how to filter it, how to sort it, how to place it, how to draw upon it, how to retrieve it and use it prudently and to God's advantage. And I want to say this. This is important. Everything that we do here in the kingdom of God is for God's advantage. This whole idea that it was for your advantage and it's for the church's advantage, that's a little bit misleading. God is interested in God. You're going to hear me say that a lot. I'm going to say it so much you're going to say it. God is interested in God. See, because God's the one that's never going to die. He's the one that's going to be around forever. God's the one that has to take care of all of this. You can make all the messes you want in your life, but it's God's got to be around to clean it up. So let's get clear. God's priority is God. That's why he says according to his will, according to his purpose, according to what pleases him. He told us over and over again he was number one. He is number one. God's interested in God because we don't have his history or his destiny. We don't have his foreknowledge. We don't even have his hindsight. Can you imagine? And we can look at everything in hindsight in our own life. We can't even find God's hindsight. Okay? I mean, Moses had to go on the cleft of the rock just to see his hind part. So you know we can't get his hindsight. So what we're going to do now, let's go to class. This is a class. You're going to want your notebook. You're going to want to take notes. And, again, if you are at church or if you are a pastor, make sure you get this and take it. I think it's going to be up for a couple of days. And share it with your church. I've done the work. You don't have to work hard. You can look real smart, and you don't have to work hard because I did that for you. Hallelujah. Let's go to class. Now, you have to tell me what you think about my screen and stuff, all right? And if you want to be a critic, send it to the Xbox. Tell them if you want to, like, it's not really, just tell them all of that stuff. But I want to know how this is blessing you in the Lord. Welcome to Local Church Apostleship Training, Discipling Apostolic Christians from the Pulpit to the Pew. Remember, before we were at the pulpit, front of the pulpit, back of the pulpit, left, right side of the pulpit. But now we're going to reach you. You know, Paul said that our sphere should not exceed you. A new day is dawning. Hallelujah. A brand new day is dawning on new creation Christianity. We're in a new day, folks, and this is God's new day. This is great. You're going to love these classes, I'm telling you. You're going to love them. And so I'm inviting you to jump on board the Apostolic Christian train because this is the day of the Apostolic Christian. Write that down. This is the day of the apostolic Christian. This is the day that a whole new branch of God's kingdom, citizenship, membership, ministry is born. For the first time in history, we're going to disciple apostolic Christians worldwide. Whole congregations can study apostleship as one and shift unitedly to apostolic Christianity. And trust me, there is a word called unitedly. I looked it up. I have to do that because, you know, got to make sure folks know I'm not trying to pick things up. And so you think about it. Pastors, how many times have you come to church brought a guest speaker in, brought a powerful apostle in, a powerful prophet in, and they decreed, thus says God, this church is apostolic, your pastor is an apostle. And once you breathe, you know, because you inhale, and then you breathe, and you kind of in your mind wish they'd have told you that in the study before they got out in public, but now that it's out, you have to figure out what to do with that. And so then they, over to study, the people are home, they're all in their restaurants at one another's house having Sunday dinner, you're out with your guests, and you're saying, so what does that mean? What does that look like? Meanwhile, the congregation is at the restaurant saying, I wonder what that means. Does that mean we're losing our pastor? Does that mean we're not going to have a pastor anymore? What does that mean? Does that mean that I'm in the wrong church? So where, was I not a Christian before? See, I don't know what that is. Does anybody know what apostle is? I think they all died. Well, no, they can't be dead. This guy says he's one. You see? That's what happens on those great meetings where you have that, you just blurt out that crazy, crazy, crazy statement, which is true, but it is a time. And so, meanwhile, the pastor's thinking, I'm going to have to tell these people what just happened. I have to keep my folk from leading. The leaders have kept the calls. They're filled in the calls. The intercessors are praying because the people's tension is getting up in heaven. And we don't know. But eventually, things settle down. The pastor does the his or her job, calm the people down. The leaders do their job. Nobody knows what's happening. And then the pastor goes on the journey of a lifetime. How do I get more information about this? What does it look like? What does it sound like? How do I prepare my people? How do I prepare myself? And so then the pastor goes to one apostolic conference after another, one apostolic meeting after another, whether you're a pastor or a bishop or evangelist, doesn't matter, prophet. You go and you get information in your closed sessions and your exclusive meetings, and by God, glory to Jesus, you are now armed. You know what it is. You've got some books. You've got some CDs, a few manuals, a couple of, you know, DVDs. You're set. You sit home, and you, or either you go on a retreat and you lock yourself in and you just feast on it and you get it. And you get it in your spirit and your mind still doesn't have it. Mentally, it's still a problem because you have no brain waves to carve that thing. See, that's been settling. It takes a while to incubate it. You go back to your church, and here's what you do. You make the second biggest mistake of the whole process. You stand up and say, by God, glory to God, we are apostolic. That's the way we're going. And if you don't like it, and you invite your people to leave. Now, you know half of them were hanging on by a thread. So they're praying, Lord, if this is my time to move on, just please tell me. And that's the Sunday you stand up and say, and if you don't like it, you can leave. This may not be the place for you. Don't do that. Do not do that. Come on, repeat after me. Do not do that. Come on, act like you're repeating. Do not do that. Because your members are always hanging on by a thread. Satan is always trying to poach your flock. They're always trying to find a reason to leave, and you just help them. You turn the church into something they never heard of, and they're scared to death. Don't do that. Remember I said it. So then the pastor stands up and says, this is the way we're going, and if you can't go with us, and if you can't follow my lead, and on and on and on. And the problem is you're like, I'm willing to follow you, but what is it? What am I following? What's the lead? I don't have a trail. You're not laying down cookie crumbs. You're not laying down bread crumbs. I can't even pick it up. If I was a bird, I'd be starving because I don't know. So you don't know. So now the pastor is saying, so our church is shifting to the apostolic, and you go to a couple of more meetings, and you go to a couple more things, and you come back, and you command the choir to sing apostolic songs. The choir's like, so is that Christian or is it gospel? Is it spiritual? Like, what am I going to sing? And then you command the intercessors, pray apostolic prayers, and everything's an edict because they only got the governmental piece of it, so everything's an edict. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all knew I'm right. And so before it's all over, there's confusion, and people love you dearly, but all of a sudden, they just wish things would go back the way they were. And still, when you ask, well, what is an apostle? You still can't get a straightforward answer. And most of the answers are so long and involved and convoluted, you're like, okay, so, you know, and you know, most of you are very courteous Christians, so you say to yourself, so he don't know either, you know, and you walk away, even though you say something real courteous to your leader, because, well, you're good sheep. So I realized this after studying this question for years and years and years, I finally got that the people of God need to understand what it is from the pew. to the streets. The pastor may need to know it from the revelation to his dedication, but you need to know it from the pew to the street, because, see, you have to go home. We only get to 2 hours a week. And so I developed this for you, pastors. I encourage all of you, have your members, especially your leaders, have your members join us in this journey. Now, in our class, we go into detail of how to set it up and how to do the layout, the plaque, the lands, and how to lay out the lesson plans and all of those kinds of things. But and in the book, when the book comes out, you'll see we tell you how to do a great deal of that. But for here, since this is an accelerated introduction, we're just giving you a little taste, you're not going to get that. So, but here's the thing. The goal is to enable your entire congregation to shift with you in their respective places. That's something we didn't plan. That's something we didn't lay out for you. We left it to chance. As a matter of fact, we didn't even leave it to chance. We left it on God, like he works for us. You know, one day I like to tell these little anecdotes. You know, when you hit my age, you can tell anecdotes. You earn the right to tell some anecdotes. I got a lot of them for you. And so one day I was telling God, you know, I was telling him something I wanted him to do. And, the Lord Jesus just broke through on me. He said, you do realize I don't work for you. And he said it in such a cutting way, it stopped me in my track. I mean, I was stopped. I said, what? I wasn't trying to say that. Yeah, you were. You issuing me orders as if I got my work to do. You do yours. I have my work to do. Mine is already cut out for me. You do your job, and I'm not doing your work for you. Now, you would say, I don't understand that. What does that look like? Let me tell you what it looks like. It looks like somebody, you're in leadership, and you see one of your subordinates, you know, doing something that needs direction, and you're telling God, go tell him. God, go tell him. You know, when you say, God, go tell him. God, go get him. God, sick him. God, fix him. No. God wants to tell you right now, stop that. I don't work for you. I don't take orders. I give them. That was an anecdote. See, I got a lot of those. So the whole purpose here is that your whole church can shift intelligently, articulately. I've told everybody that I go to when I go into churches to help them transition, I tell them, if you transition in less than 18 months, you did something wrong, and you're going to have a dump in a minute because people are going to spill out of there. Sheep flee when they're afraid. Hallelujah. Isn't this great? So, what are we looking at? Do you see the crate? You know what that crate is? That is what came down from heaven, apostleship as it came from heaven in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the signs imported from heaven. We don't have a mixed bag here. God did the work for us. We treat this thing as if it's not addressed in Scripture. How many of you, before you realized that it was there, you believed that God didn't talk about apostles in the New Testament other than the ones that were the original 12 and he was done? I remember, especially with prophets, when I first became a prophet and I was trying to figure it out, my pastor, wonderful young man, kept saying that there were no prophets like that. Oh, no, they don't do like they did that. The biggest question then was, well, what does a prophet do under the New Testament that they did under the Old? Or how does a prophet operate under the New Testament? The same way they operated under the Old, just globally. Under the Old Testament, they operated nationally. Under the New Testament, they operate globally. Same office. As a matter of fact, before there was a Testament, they were prophets. So obviously, the Old and New Testament are not the issue. See, because Abraham was a prophet. Y'all like that, don't you? I know you do, because I'm tickled myself. I know you like it. Come on, give my claps. Come on, treat me nice now. There we go. See, we're teams, team friends. So, before that, Enoch was prophet. Noah, prophet. Abel, prophet. So how was Abel a prophet? Now, what did Abel have to do as a prophet? Come on, as far as we knew, they had like 8 people on the planet in our minds. And yet, whatever Abel did, it so irritated his brother, caused him to kill him. You don't find that out till you get to Luke. So this whole idea of Old Testament, New Testament prophet, not so true. Not true at all. Because there were prophets before there were testaments. Now, don't you feel free? I don't know about you, but I think right now I can honestly say, don't you feel good and free? You can go on and tell Jesus, lift them hands up and praise him. I'm going to give him these claps. Come on and clap to your king. Set you free, didn't he? Now, so we're doing apostleship the exact same way. It came from heaven. It did not come from us. Jesus brought heaven's brand of apostleship. Now, they had them. Greeks had them. I don't want you to see you guys to start getting on Facebook, give me a history lesson. So I know that the Greeks had them. I know that the Athenians had them. I know the Romans had them. But they had them for the purposes of taking natural territory. And Jesus said repeatedly, I came to take territory by taking people. They were taking dust. God began to take people. Both going after clay. One's God's clay, the other is earth's clay. So, but Jesus brought the model to the planet. And he actually introduced it with Moses, because many people will admit Moses was a type of prophet, Shalyak or Shalia, whichever word, whichever book you're reading. Moses was a type of an apostle. That's why when he died, the scripture says, the Lord your God will raise, in Deuteronomy 18, Moses knew it. He said, you know, the Lord your God is going to raise up a prophet from among you who is like me. Him you will hear. And anybody who doesn't hear their prophet will be cut off from his people. Now, a lot of people ignore prophets, but you know what? They weren't quick to ignore Moses. You know, Moses had relative problems. You know, he had brother and sister, didn't like that he married this Ethiopian, this African-American woman. Mad little chocolate girl. That wasn't working. And the relatives didn't like that because he was supposed to marry something more to himself. Well, see, I could do that. It's not, it's, you know, what can I say? It's 2016, and I'm a woman, and guess what? I'm over 60. There you go. Bless the Lord. So he married this woman from another species. No, excuse me, another race. And his sister and brother had a problem with it. And Moses had been good to God. And clearly, for God to allow that, they'd been together a very long time. They were a team. He was in God's face every day, but there was a loneliness in Moses. And obviously it was a loneliness, and he had a preference. And so he married this woman, and his relatives, some of y'all relatives need to listen up because you need to get off of them spouses, all right? But he married this woman, and they had a problem. So God come down, call a meeting, call a family meeting. Comes down, he said, and he calls them, Aaron and Marion, get over here. Numbers 12, just in case you want to see, get on over here. Because God thinks he's done a good thing. See, when God put a good man with a good woman with a good man, he's proud of himself. So he does not want the family to tell you that. So, long story short, they come on to the meeting, and God is hot. I mean, he says to Miriam, because you know it's always the women, yep, you know. And so he says to Miriam, you know, if there's a prophet among you, I talk to him in dream, I speak to him in a vision, but not so with my servant Moses. Him I speak to face, in the original language, mouth to mouth. I literally breathe into his mouth anything I want him to know. So how come you weren't afraid to put your mouth against my prophet, my man? And so he was upset, and he's had a few other choice words, because, you know, some of us, only an apostolic Christian can understand God's choice words. Some of y'all gonna Facebook me and tell me, I know what you're talking about, Dr. Price. You're going to tweet me. Yeah, I know. Apostolic Christians hear God. We got a whole other channel that opens up when you step into that dimension of God. And so he was very, and he's very forward with us. He's very forthright, very straightforward. He doesn't bite his tongue. Candor, not a problem for the Lord. So he says to them, you get outside of the camp. And he let her know. Let me tell you. Now, see, this I think is the funniest thing. I like it. I love reading the Word of God, and I love enjoying the stories. And he said, you know, because if she'd have messed over her father, he'd have spit in her face. He said, now, I'm her father. Now, think about it. Can you imagine God spitting in your face? They call that a tidal wave, tsunami. The girl wouldn't have been here. But he put her outside the camp. Why? Because of how he interacts with Moses. Not just that he married someone they didn't approve of. Not just that he was their brother, didn't seek their decision for him. Not just that. But the Bible went through the problem of saying, but she was Ethiopian. So obviously, you know how it is when a family got your mate all picked out, and the person you just cannot holler. I'm freeing somebody tonight. I know that I am because I'm in a vein, and when I'm in those veins, God is setting a captive free. So we're just gonna let him free somebody tonight. How about that? And so he goes, and he strikes her with leprosy. She got 24-hour disease. And then she got to get healed. Moses got to pray to get her back. I'm sure that she didn't have much to say to Moses about the new wife after that for a while. I'm convinced. But the point of this particular recall is that God says, the way I speak, how is it, I literally made this man as near to God as anybody can be, and you didn't have sense enough to be ashamed for begrudging him a little pleasure in this life, to take away his loneliness. He set aside his whole life for me. His wife walked off and left him. See, some of us don't read the whole story. Wife went back home because she was like, oh, no, I signed up for Egypt. I didn't sign up for Midian. I didn't sign up for Sinai. I didn't sign up for the wilderness. I signed up for the cosmopolitan home, not the Best Bowl. You know, some of y'all ready to break up your marriage. Now, I ain't signed on for this. This wasn't what I married you for. I'm going to tell you. So Zipporah went home, took the kids, so he lost everything. This whole idea, you don't have to lose everything for the word of God, for the call on your life. This is a precious anointing. And whoever told you that, you need to go back and read some scripture to them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this man lost everything. He was the most powerful man on the planet, and it cost him everything. Because if you see, you can get world power, and they're going to give you everything. You get God power, it's going to cost you everything. Because God is like, because I'm the best there is. It just doesn't get any better than me. And if it doesn't cost you, you will not fight for me. Because God wants to make sure you're going to love me, rich or poor, well or sick, broke or abundant. And so it cost him, because a lot of people forgot, it cost Moses everything to part that Red Sea. It cost him everything to take down a nation. It cost him everything to bring God's people out of captivity. It cost him his family. It cost him his homeland. It cost him his heritage. And he said that he, when you read Hebrews, you get a glimpse of it, that God had to persuade him in Hebrews 12. Is it 12? I think it's 11. Might be Hebrews 11. I'm pretty sure it's Hebrews 11. Where it said, but Moses had a choice. God gave him a choice. He said, now listen, if you're going to do this, you're going to have to leave Egypt. You're going to have to leave the cushy land and the wonderful life behind. Now, I promise you, I'm going to make you the greatest man that's ever walked on the planet, and there'll be none like you. He said, but it's going to cost you everything. It will cost you to do this wonderful thing I'm asking you to do. So do you want to? And it said, but Moses chose to suffer in the wilderness with his people than to enjoy the pleasures of the sin of Egypt for a moment. Because, see, Moses was smart enough to know that if God was calling him to do this, he was taking Egypt out anyway. Wasn't going to be there long. A lot of you all jump ship too soon, and you like Lot's wife, y'all hanging on to what God has already cursed. Come on here. You know, I can say this. I read the Bible. But it cost Moses. And so y'all walking around, I want that Moses anointing. No, you don't, because you don't even want to come to church if your man get mad. Okay, I want to have Moses. No, because if your kids don't like a church, you got to leave them and go to Playland. So you don't want a Moses anointing. You're just enamored with the power and the prestige and the esteem. And that's okay for you to admire the man. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want to go on record to say, you want big from God, it's going to cost big. God makes you pay dearly for his good stuff. His daily care, he said, I'm going to give you some daily bread. You get some daily bread. He got some routine custodial care, but if you want to get into his good stuff, so it cost Moses his wife, it cost him his sons. They went back home. She looked at that crowd. She's like, I did not marry you for this. I married somebody who was going to be the king of Egypt, not a man over the nomadic dust bowl. This is not impressive to me. It didn't even bother her that Egypt was destroyed. The fact is that her vision was destroyed. Her own heart hope was destroyed, and she left him. And so he was alone for a good while, fighting with those people, watching families form and watching children grow up until God realized that he's lonely. He gave him a wife. See, that's apostolic Christian thinking. You know, evangelical Christians, God won't do that. Yeah, but they don't know God close enough to do it. You realize that there's two ways to know God, from afar and near. And I'm going to tell you something. You are not near God if you don't know his word, because God is God all by himself. God is so sure he can't change. He wrote his word once and hadn't come back to edit it yet. And you know why? Because he's still the same. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, we're going to move on because we have fun. Are we having fun? Come on, answer me. Are we having fun? Because I know this is big stuff. Apostolic Christians, number one thing about them is that they're grounded. Number two, they're mature. And number three, God reigns. God reigns. He doesn't just, they're not waiting for God to reign over them when they get there. They feel like God reigns now, like today. So meet God's newest Apostolic Christians, and that's from near. Let's go on. Now, pay attention. I want you to see the next one. You're going to like it. I hope you're seeing this. Are you all seeing this? Because if you're seeing my screen, I'm going to be happy. Otherwise, I have to find Plan B. And Prophet Ashley is going to be so upset because she ran all day long to do this. You see, there you go. We just dropped it at your doorstep. I just dropped Apostolic Christianity on your doorstep. Open your box now. In the become an apostolic Christian in the comfort of your own home, in the familiarity of your local church. We have to do this, folks, and we have to do it as a team, and we have to do it as one. It's important. So let's see what's in this box. We just dropped off some things. Let's see what we got. Got a little something. Aha, got a little something. You see the smoke? That's because we're smoking. You see that? We're smoking. Canada, that's the glory coming on in. See that Shekinah? Did you like that? I told you, I carefully thought this out. You can see I like PowerPoint. So now y'all know. All right. Delivering the shipment, depositing apostolic Christianity. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. What's next? Breaking news. Breaking news. We are moving in. Who's moving in? Apostolic Christians. Moving in. You see the truck? We done pulled up. We in. We're joining. We're taking our place. And we're a new mix. See, God's got a new breed. We're a new breed. A new kind of apostolic Christian. So what's happened? Let's open this box. We're getting ready to open the box. Pay attention because this is good. Unpacking the shipment. New era apostleship. Learning what apostolic Christianity is, does, and manifests. This is not a slogan. This is not a tag on. We will have slogans. We'll have some tag ons. We'll have some clips, hats, pins, cups, shirts. We'll do all of that. But all of that is external. What is it that makes us different internally is what's important. That's what we want to wrap our head around. So we want to get ready. Come on, let's go. We get ready to go in the keyhole. Ready? It's getting good. Entering the world of apostolic Christianity, beginning the discipling process. That is what we're doing right now. We're beginning the discipling process. And what does that mean? Well, it means this. I'm so excited to be doing this for the Holy Ghost. You know, I told Jesus, I want to do this for you. You know, he's my honey. So when somebody's your honey, you want to do whatever they need. And so here we go. Your journey to apostolic Christianity, getting you to advance in God. Start to advance in God. Why? Because apostolic Christianity is the foundation, but it's also the peak, because the apostles' office is something that God says he's going to keep around throughout eternity. It's going to co-rule with him. He said the apostles will be sitting on the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's an eternal calling for sure. Now for the secret. Look at that. The first secret is I told you when I first started, and I said, bless the Lord. I said what? I said to you that every Christian begins their life in Christ apostolic. I'm going to say it over and over and over again because you need to recognize that whether you became Baptist or Methodist or Episcopalian or whatever else you became, Protestant, whatever you were, even before you were Catholic, you were apostolic. You began your life in Christ apostolically. That is the if I had to say anything, that would have been the uterus, that would have been the membrane, that would have been the lifeline. That's how you began. You began with the genetics of the apostle in your makeup, if there was a minister to do it. Why? Because everybody who's born again by the word of God is born again by the word that God gave his apostles. You're born again by the scriptures. He gave the New Testament to his apostles. And it was so important, that he came to earth himself to make sure we got it right. Now, here's something good, because I'm going to give the next slide has an excerpt from the book, and I hope you can see it. If not, I'm going to read it so you'll get it, but it's just really too good. I want you to know that every week we're going to read from this book. And but here's something you need to know. Apostles are the kingdom's equivalent of a secular ambassador. Paul knew that. He said, we're ambassadors for Christ. Now, it was so interesting because I go to churches, you know, evangelical churches that say we're ambassadors for Christ. No, you're not. An ambassador is, first of all, We need to read about ambassadors, because he can only say that because we were called to take nations, because ambassadors are sent to the sovereign. It's, and only the head of state can send an ambassador, only the head of state, you know? So everybody else is sent by the ambassador. See, that's why when you set up an embassy in a land, you set up one embassy. And then that and one embassy has its own ambassadors and all of those supporting it. But that senior one is the one that's got the vision, got the letter, got the commission, got the call. See, we don't even know that. So a lot of us are called to be envoys. We're called to be missionaries. But trust me, most people won't do it because an ambassador has got to be verbatim the voice, the thought, the will of the sovereign or the sender. And a lot of us have too many doctrines to be ambassadors. You've got too many doctrines. We've got too many belief systems. We've got too many gods in our faith, too many gods in our culture. Do you know that if an ambassador does that, that's considered treason? Ambassadors cannot do to their head of state what we've done. Well, poor Hillary still can't come from under Benghazi, because that ambassador was killed. That's war. The fact that we let that slide is in direct conflict with the prototypical root of ambassadorship. People don't understand. What's the problem with Benghazi? Because you don't kill people's ambassadors. If you do, you've engaged the nation in war. And that man died under this watch, breaking all rules of political protocol and diplomacy, because that's not what you do. David sent out some ambassadors to go and do an errand for him, and they beat him up. They pulled their beards out and whatnot. And David said, "Y'all," and they humiliated him. You don't humiliate people's ambassadors. You have to recognize that. That is why when apostles pass through your life and they're true apostles and you treat them poorly, you can rest assured your life is going to go into a tailspin. That has happened to me. And I've said, but I came here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not going to treat me like that. I had one person brought me into their city. Bishop brought me in, threw me in a nasty little hotel, would not feed me, and then told me I had to be out of his city by 7 o'clock at night. And you know what I said? I'm an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I promise you this is going to come back on you. Be very careful how you treat God's leaders, because a lot of times it may take years before you realize it, and only God will make the connection. And that man threw me out. I had nowhere to go, sitting in a strange city, because he decided that he didn't really want me to come at that time. And trust me, over and over again, a lot of us, a lot of these leaders, you need to find, before you start thinking it's just the devil, you need to find out what they sold. Because Jesus said to Jerusalem, don't miss your time of visitation. I wouldn't have mind if he told me, you know what, whatever. But I'm telling you to sit there and do that. I sure did, and I want you to know, just so y'all know, I wrote him a letter and told him, I'm an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is not what you do in your city. And it happened to me twice. And I tell you this, because that whole thing, I understood Benghazi very well, because you do not tear up people's embassies. And for you to do that, you only do it and feel like you can get away with it if you think you're a stronger nation or you think the nation that you're assaulting doesn't care. Those are only two reasons you do it, because anywhere else, folks are like, wait a minute, we get upset if you go and hit a senator. So that's the rules of but that's a whole class. See, when you come to my class, you'll appreciate that. But to say that we're all ambassadors in the way we treat God's people, that can't be. And if you're going to make that claim, you're going to have to live that life, because trust me, you put yourself in that street. But Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ's sake. I keep telling people the Great Commission was meant for everybody. Don't get me wrong. But he gave the commission to the 11, not even Matthias. Matthias did not get the Great Commission. He wasn't voted in yet. See, these are little nuances that make you know what you know. Matthias did not get it. Matthias was not in the 40-day class. God wanted us to know that what he gave them, that first 11 and the 12, because you see, you can take it to the grave. God did not cheat Judas. He never cheated him. Not one time did he cheat him. Judas was in the classrooms. He didn't say, okay, now Judas, you're going to get a little less because I know that you're going to kill me. He didn't say that. He's fair, because when it comes time for him to deal with it and justify what he's doing, he said that he may be justified when he's judged. God will make sure that he's right. Judas cannot say, well, the reason that I tricked you up and the reason I deceived you was because you gave them more than you gave me. Uh-uh. But Matthias wasn't there. Judas wasn't there. So he had those two people that did not make it. So he sent the rest to the nations. He didn't say go. He said go preach the gospel to every creature in Mark. But in Matthew, he said go to the nations, disciple nations, because you disciple nations from the head down. You can go to as missionary. You can take all the food you want. You can take all the aid you want. You can take all the medical help you want. That's great, wonderful. Do some classes. Do some orphanages. Do some whatever. That's marvelous. But you have not changed the nation if you haven't changed the head. Because it's the head that votes in whether or not that nation will serve Jesus Christ. That's why it's important who you put at the top of your nation. It's very important that you recognize it. The naivety of the saints is that God will fix it. God's like, I don't have the problem. I didn't create the problem, and I don't have to fix it. I gave you my word. I told you what to do. I sent up it. Now, if you want to do something different, you're going to ride it out, because God works with leadership. God works with government. Now, God's kingdom, his angels, his resources, they take care of the citizens. But God honors leadership. You marry the wrong person, he's going to let you stay married to the wrong person. Because God hates divorce. So, you see how this thing, he gets us coming and going. The man is so good at being God. He's scary good. But a lot of us don't know that. So, you go and say, I'm going to marry her, and then God's going to save her. No. No, and God proved he wasn't going to do that. Hosea married Gomer. And it didn't change her. They had some children, and she still went and got something else. So you understand that God is not going to fix it. Now, whoever you are planning on marrying somebody and thinking that you're going to get them saved, I'm here to tell you you'll be married to that person for 15 years, and it will be 15 of the darkest years of your life. That's the word of the Lord to you. Whoever you are, don't do it. Because God's not going to intervene. And you're going to have some children, and they're going to be wonderful little kids, scared to death. Do not do that. Now, I don't know who you are, but anyway, I'm on the roll. Hallelujah. Am I on the roll? I'm on the roll. How much time I got? I got a few more minutes. You know, Ashley told me that it's my show, so I could use up my time. She gave me permission, folks. Are you blessed? Am I blessing any of you? Am I giving you answers? Because God is a God of wisdom. See, the word of God is powerful, but if you don't have the wisdom of God to use it, you might as well have an atom bomb in your basement. From the book, designed to shift the 21st century church to new era apostleship, this training will move those who are chosen from evangelicalism to apostleship if that is God's will for them. Admittedly, not for everyone that is saved by Jesus Christ. Those feeling the tug of the new, who are ready to migrate from the old, will find this process invigorating and arming. It promises to bring apostleship its long overdue kingdom dignity and motivate believers to cooperate with what the Lord has been pushing for the last several decades. That is the full reinstatement of apostleship over his church. Discipling apostolic Christians is important because, after all, without the people, apostleship is empty. It takes apostles making disciples after their own kind to validate their office. Reproductions of themselves are the best ones to staff and support their commission. Going through this material and completing its exercises will promote throughout God's kingdom the same apostolic Christian in you that defined the early church. And you know that's good stuff. That is good stuff that defined the early church. We keep saying we want to go back to the early church, and that means you got to go back to apostleship, because that's what the early church was under. You have to go back to when apostles were leading the church. You have to go back to when their power was keeping them. And when I talk to you next week, we're going to talk about what that power is. You're going to have such a great time next week. Now, listen, I want you to do me a favor, though. You got to go and tell your friends. This is on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank all of my Blog Talk listeners for tuning in. It'll be posted not long afterwards. I don't know, Ashley asked me not to tell people this because I get all the timing wrong. But in any event, Ashley will put it up, and as soon as she does, she'll send out a notification to let you know that it is able to be listened to on Periscope. She's planning to put them on YouTube. That's powerful so that you'll go back and listen to it again, because I want you to understand how God's thinking. You said, Dr. Price, you don't preach like everyone else. Dr. Price, you sound very different. I'm preaching from the apostolic side of God. Hallelujah. And is the book title? Okay. The back room. The back room is telling me I have to tell you the name of the book, and it is ABCs of Apostleship 1 and 2. The book I'm actually reading from is book 2, and it's called ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christians. Now, I don't have a lot more time because Ashley and I are going to have a little discussion because, you know, she has to get her part because she worked so hard for this. But I want to do something for you. I want to go to the next slide, and here's what you're going to find. The definition of an apostle. Here is what an apostle is. Now, remember, I told you that it was the ecclesial kingdom side of ambassadorship. So let's look at this. New creation apostle, God's deputized sent one. Now, hear me. You hear people say, and people say it to me clearly, but I'm getting better, guys. I really am. But don't let anybody tell you an apostle is just a sent one. Apostles are more than errand runners. They don't just go to the grocery store, run over to Walmart, go downtown. They're not going to do. Apostles are deputized sent ones. And when you hang up today or when you sign off, I want you to go to a dictionary and I want you to look up the word deputized, because that is that adjective is important. And that tells you where the apostle's power is. But I'm going to go on. This deputized sent one standing in for the Lord Jesus Christ in matters pertaining to his church and kingdom on earth. Deputized sent one standing in for the Lord Jesus Christ in matters pertaining to his church and kingdom on earth. That is why he as the king must send them, because he's actually sending that apostle with a measure of himself. There was one definition that I read, and I bought a book called The Diplomat's Dictionary because I really wanted to understand this, and I love that book. And so I was reading it, and one definition said that the ambassador is the alter ego of the sender. Isn't that powerful, folks? Have we missed it, or have we missed it? I'm like, oh, we are. I know. Come on, you all probably, so y'all let me know if you aren't. I know that. You have to hear this. If you are someone's alter ego, you are not different from them. You are an exact replication of them. If God holds up his hands in heaven, the apostle's hands supposed to go up on earth. If God waves in heaven, the apostle's supposed to wave on earth. That's what that means, if they are closely aligned, if they're sent. Because, see, a lot of these apostles cannot talk about that sent piece. And it's the sent piece, the deputized sent one, that is the defining issue of apostleship, which is why you don't know what's the difference between the apostle and the pastor, the apostle and the evangelist. You don't understand why your church has to shift. You don't know why it's different. I mean, why do we have to go through all of this? What's different? And they're standing up there reading somebody's books to you and all of that and still can't give you an enlightenment, because I don't care how many books you read about this. If you're going to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be sent. And that sending is not something that you have in church service. That sending is not something that you have while you sitting around the table with your friends. That sending is a private thing. And it's a private thing. And here's my last slide for tonight, the private thing. And that is, to be an apostle, God must have committed something to the apostle's trust. Remember, if you're sent, you're sent with something. There's a reason for you being sent. Half of these apostles can't even tell you why they're apostles. Well, I'm apostle because I just got the grace on me. Well, how do you know it's the grace of apostleship? It could be the grace of anything. You just because you got some power. The magician's got power. Come on here. Well, because you have a deep revelation. Now, a lot of people have revelation. So that can't be enough. But God must have committed something to the apostles' trust. The commission of something to an apostles' trust means the Lord has officially empowered the apostle to act in his stead and on his behalf in the earth. I stopped because I figured you might need a breath out, but I didn't need a breath. I know you did. So you're going to be listening to this for days on end, aren't you? And you should. I could get, you know, I could do what you all have been accustomed to and kind of dumb it down, but see, I just don't believe apostles are dumb. So, you know, I just don't. I believe that today we don't have to dumb things down. And you know why? We've got the internet. We've got audio recordings. You can listen to it 1,000 times until it seeps in. That's how I got it. I just kept listening, and I kept listening, and I kept reading and rereading until it sunk in. So I just want to let you know that because it's very important that you recognize what we're doing. So I am going to finally allow Prophet Ashley to say three things. She's so good at saying three things.
Okay, well, round of applause to Dr. Price. Right. Yeah, lots of comments, lots of feedback. This is a wonderful success.
Thank you.
I'm going to say thank you for everybody who was watching because they were already saying thank you. So make sure you go to www.drpaulaaprice.com. Get caught up on Dr. Price's ministry and what she is doing. We have our Tulsa Prophetic Training Institute coming up right around the corner, it seems.
Yes.
June 15th through the 18th, obviously here in Tulsa. Apostles and prophets show up to this event. You have apostles and prophets teaching at our Tulsa Prophetic Training Institute. Thursday, this is my second and probably last announcement. Thursday, Dr. Price has the Paula Price Show. It is her two-hour blog talk radio show where she gives you an exhortation about where God is in his kingdom. She takes live calls from you on blog talk radio where she prophesies, prays, and she could reach her hand through the telephone and lay hands on you. She would. And I tell you what, if let's just say you call, I'm shy, I don't want to talk to Dr. Price. Fine, listen, somebody's prayer request is going to break you through. I get free every week. I have my phone on mute when she's talking to people, and I'm trust me, I am talking to myself and to God with your situation. So no matter what your situation is, it will be addressed on the Paula Price Show. Here's special news.
Special news. Ready? Breaking news!
See?
Breaking news!
This Thursday, we are going to start periscoping the first hour of the Paula Price Show. So you will be able to tune in, sneak on your job, because we know some of you sliding in on the phone, and on your lunch break, you'll be able to see her for the first hour, get that exhortation face-to-face, how we like to do, with Dr. Price. This Thursday, it's Dr. Price's birthday show because her birthday is on Sunday, February 21st. But this Thursday on the Paula Price Show, we're going to recognize her for her birthday. Prophet Adia Peterson, our regional prophet.
I love it.
Who does our announcements and is always contributing her prophetic insight to the show. She's ready, and then Dr. Price says something that completely throws her off base, and then she's back. She is going to give 100 shout-outs to 100 of you, running down 100 of your names who have commented or followed the Paula Price Show.
At the speed of a comet.
At the speed of a comet. She can already lay it down quite fast, and so I'm tuning up my music to introduce it because I have sound effects. And she's going to run it down. It's going to be hysterical. Those are my announcements for this evening, Dr. Price. Once again, thank you for taking the time out of your ever-so-busy, always writing. Always writing. I have to say this joke, though, because Dr. Price says all the time, why do people always ask me if I'm writing another book? Because she's always writing another book. Some people get, like, one book out in a lifetime, and she's cranking them out. So, again, ABCs of Apostleship, this is one, and the workbook one, which you can order online. She is teaching from ABCs of Apostleship 2, Discipling Apostolic Christians, which will be on the market in March. So get ready, get your download finger ready, that trigger finger, because it will be coming to you very soon.
If you're a member of NEAR, then you can get your copy by going to our NEAR site on Yammer. So if you're a member of NEAR, if you find that you want to be a part of this thing called Discipling Apostolic Christians, you want to bring your church aboard, you want to bring your leaders aboard, go to jointheir.com and find out how to do it. But above all, hey, stay with us. We're on a journey, folks, and I promise you, when this thing is done, we will shake the world yet one more time in the name of the glorious Savior and King of all, Jesus Christ. God bless you. I will see you on Thursday, and we'll disciple some more Christians next Tuesday. And do me a favor. They put post on there, say, Dr. Price, I discipled some apostolic Christians today. I shared this word. Encourage me. God bless.